Welcome to the Hello Someday podcast, the podcast for busy women who are ready to drink less and live more. I'm Casey McGuire Davidson, ex-red wine girl turned life coach, helping women create lives they love without alcohol. But it wasn't that long ago that I was anxious, overwhelmed, and drinking a bottle of wine a night to unwind. I thought that wine was the glue holding my life together, helping me cope with my kids, my stressful job, and my busy life. I didn't realize that my love affair with drinking was making me more anxious and less able to manage my responsibilities. In this podcast, my goal is to teach you the tried and true secrets of creating and living a life you don't want to escape from. Each week, I'll bring you tools, lessons, and conversations to help you drink less and live more. I'll teach you how to navigate our drinking-obsessed culture without a buzz, how to sit with your emotions when you're lonely or angry, frustrated or overwhelmed, how to self-soothe without a drink, and how to turn the decision to stop drinking from your worst-case scenario to the best decision of your life. I am so glad you're here. Now let's get started. Hey there. I've got some big news for you that I have been not so patiently waiting to tell you about. After 6 months away, my super popular, completely free masterclass is back, and it's better than ever. I've been working on it 4 months, so if you have been struggling to get sober momentum, please go to hellosomedaycoaching.com/class. You can sign up for my free training, 5 secrets to taking a break from drinking, even if you've tried and failed in the past. In this 60-minute masterclass, I am going to share with you all the things you need to stop doing because they're setting you up for self-sabotage and what you need to start doing instead. I am giving you the steps and the mindset shifts that I go through every day with my private coaching clients, and it is completely free. So if you are sober curious, if you've been thinking about taking a break from alcohol, this class is going to set you up for success. I promise you, it is worth your time. So hit pause on this episode, go to hellosomedaycoaching.com/class and save your seat. Hi there. Today we are talking about embracing sobriety as a power move. And my guest is Megan Wilcox. She has celebrated 3 amazing years of an alcohol-free life. Megan is a certified holistic health coach, a certified professional recovery coach, a She Recovers coach, a mindset coach, an alcohol-free life coach, a success coach, and a certified NLP practitioner. For the past 3 years, her unwavering dedication has been to help fellow women break free from the clutches of alcohol. You may know her from Instagram as Soba Sistas, and she's the host of the Soba Sistas podcast. I always don't know quite how to pronounce that, even though so many of my friends in college were from Boston. Can you say it for us?
Yeah, you did a great job. Soba Sistas.
Okay, awesome. You're in Boston, right? Or right around there?
I am. I've been in Boston for about 20 years. I originally am from Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know it, that whole adding the H is sort of a Boston thing, right?
Yeah. Like somebody would say, yeah, I'm wicked soba. And that's kind of how I came. That's kind of how I came up with Soba Sistas as a name, you know, obviously. But I don't really have a Boston accent, so.
No, you definitely don't. But I went to college in Maine. Like I said, I feel like everyone at my school came from somewhere in the suburbs around Boston and went right back there after graduation. So when you were saying like, I'm wicked soba, like I was like, oh yeah, I remember the wicked, you know, thing from college.
Yep. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm super excited to have this conversation because so many women and people overall over the years have said that sobriety is their superpower. And I'm trying to remember whether that originally came from Brené Brown. Do you know?
I don't know, but it probably did. I could definitely see her.
I'll look it up while we're chatting, but will you tell us a little bit about you?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd love to. So I'm a mom of two boys, 14 and 9, and I'm a single mom. I've been divorced 7 years, or maybe a little longer now. I work in healthcare when I'm not doing the sobriety stuff. I work in an emergency room here in Boston and love my job. I've done that 10 years. Yeah, I originally, like I said, grew up in Buffalo, New York. So I moved here to kind of get away from, before alcohol was a thing, gambling was a thing for me. Yeah, it's so crazy to think when I was like 19 years old. And so that's how I ended up in Boston. And now I've been here for a while now. I love it. It's definitely my home. And yeah, my life has totally changed since, you know, getting sober. And even though everything's the same, as far as like, I'm in the same apartment, I have the same job, I have the same kids, but at the same time, so much has just changed. I feel like a completely different person.
That's awesome. And we're going to talk about that all today. And I'm really excited about it because so many of us come into sobriety because we don't like the way we are. We don't like necessarily the way we look or the way we feel. And I know when I finally was ready to get some help and stop drinking, I had extreme anxiety. I felt like I couldn't cope in life. But at the same time, quitting drinking was my absolute worst case scenario in life. I mean, I fought so hard to not stop drinking, to moderate somehow. I mean, for a decade, trying to control my drinking because I never wanted to stop. And I thought that based on the movies or, you know, what I'd seen on television, that life without alcohol or sober life was you sitting around in a church basement talking about, you know, what a horrible thing you've done, person you've been, that you have a disease, all this stuff. It just seemed very unhappy to me, and a situation where you're talking about how powerless you are. And I know you found that the exact opposite is true, that by stopping drinking, I actually enabled myself to get unstuck, to have more confidence, to become a much better version of myself. And I wanted to dig into that because that's something that when you're drinking is really hard to believe.
Yeah, it really is. And sometimes I'll say that I'm like, I'm not here trying to just sound all positive like it's easy, but I want to be somebody that people get excited about sobriety and really just not see it as this punishment. And I think that that's what holds us back for so long from even seeing this as an opportunity or as an option, is that we do see it as maybe what we thought it was, what it's historically been in the past. And so we don't even go there. And like you said, we do everything we can to just keep it in our life, whether it is try to like moderate, make these rules. And once we can just let go of that and see that it actually is this huge opportunity to make some major growth in our life, it does start to change a little bit.
Absolutely. And I did look up Brené Brown because so many of us know her, look up to her, and you may not be aware, she actually quit drinking 28 years ago. And 5 years ago, she wrote, when she was 23 years sober, how she was talking to a friend who was newly sober, and the conversation, she said, shifted something in me. For the first time in my life, I realized that my sobriety isn't a limitation. Sobriety isn't even a have to, it's a superpower. And she quoted something that Mary Carr, who wrote the book Lit, said, which was, when I got sober, I thought giving up alcohol was saying goodbye to all the fun and all the sparkle. And it turned out to be just the opposite. That's when the sparkle started for me.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely just love that because I truly do believe that. I didn't always believe that, you know, and so that's why I'm trying to just hit people early, you know, before they just give up and keep going back, because that sometimes happens, you know, they take a little time away and nothing's changed in their life. In fact, they feel more anxious and bored and feel like, you know, the odd man out. And I'm here to be like, keep going. Cause all of a sudden, you know, they say, don't stop before the miracle. And that's, I think, just such a good reminder for us, because it's not easy in the beginning. And when you don't know all the things that, like, you know, that you will learn as time goes on. When I think back of when I first quit, like, I didn't know all the things that I know now. I didn't have the tools. I was just starting. And so that's why I just love that, you know, there is a podcast like yours and all the other podcasts and things out there and Instagram and things to show people, like, it really can be better if you allow it to, if you take it as this massive opportunity to change your life.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, because it does take work to shift your mindset, to embrace sobriety as a power move, as a superpower. I was smiling when you said, you know, so many people take a little bit of time off and then go back to it. And that was me. I actually took about 4 months off when my son was 5, and then I got pregnant. So I was sober for about a year, but by the time I got pregnant, I was already doing that like slow shuffle back, trying to walk back the idea that, oh my God, I need to stop drinking. This is a problem. This is serious. I was sort of at 4 months being like, well, maybe I overreacted. Once all the negative stuff that you feel when you're drinking is a little bit further in the rearview mirror, it's so easy to rationalize and minimize how you felt and what it was really like. And I have to say, the first time I stopped drinking, my mindset was really resentful of the fact that it had, quote unquote, gotten so bad. I very much did it from the idea of, oh shit, things are not going well. I really need to stop drinking. The second time, so I had my daughter, I went back to drinking for 2 years. They always say recovery ruins you for alcohol. Like, I knew too much. I knew every hangover, every time I didn't remember stuff and was trying to play it off, every time my anxiety was off the charts, or I looked at my bloodshot eyes, like, I knew my drinking was unsustainable. And the second time I stopped drinking, my mindset was completely different. I was like, I need to build a better life. I know I'm happier when I'm not drinking. I don't want to go back to feeling that way. And that's when I did the work. And I know you do this work with women all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And something you said earlier too about being powerless over alcohol, and that just like, it like grinds my gears. It does. It gets me so worked up, because, you know, as I remind the women in my groups or anyone that I talk to and myself, alcohol is a like highly addictive, psychoactive, mind altering drug. So, you know, it's up to us though to like to recognize that and to call it for what it is and to do what we need to do to stay away and to keep it out of our life. But that's what it's meant to do, is to get us addicted, to suck us in, to just make us this as small as we could possibly be and destroy us like little by little. And it's not a beverage that is meant to like make us feel great and is make us young, look young. And all, you would think that it is, you know, I was saying like, you would think alcohol was this magic potion that made us all look younger and act like in ways we're proud of and things like that, the way that it's just, you know, so glamorized and everything. But truly, you know, it's not totally, you know, it's not all our faults. And I just think, yeah, not seeing it as a punishment, like, oh, there's something wrong with me. And I have to be the weird one in my friend group that doesn't drink anymore. That no, actually, the fact that you recognize that, maybe this isn't the best thing for me is actually freaking amazing. And it just makes you a badass that you've recognized it, even if you're still going back to it sometimes because you're trying to figure it out on your, you know, on as you go. It's still just, it's, that's why I love to call it a power move, because it really,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to read something that a woman in my group posted just a couple days ago, and I captured it because it was so perfect for our conversation. She wrote, "Day 5 after starting over post-slip, I'm feeling great. When I quit 2 months ago, I was doing it for my kids, my husband, my family, my health, and all that. For everything but me. It was hard, and I felt like I was white-knuckling it, and I felt resentful. During this short period of drinking, I realized that I can't do this for any of those reasons. I have to do this for me. Me first. The rest is icing on the cake. Without trying to sound overdramatic, I want to take my power back. I am tired of giving it away. Now, not drinking is making me feel powerful, and I can only get stronger from here." I mean, how perfect is that for what we're talking about?
Oh my gosh. It makes my eyes water. Like, it just, I'm so happy for her that she's seeing that. And that's not something that we can totally do for somebody. They, you know, we have to figure that out on our own. And when someone does hit that point, it's like, all right, get ready, because if you just keep showing up for yourself and surrounding yourself with other, you know, women that are working on this, like it should, you know, only get better and better. But yes, we have to do it for ourselves, and then everything else sort of starts to come up, rise with us. And the things that don't, or the people that don't, that's okay. But it is a beautiful thing when you start to just see these little areas of your life start to improve all on its own.
Yeah. And it is empowering if you let it be. So let's talk about that, because there is work involved in shifting limiting beliefs and negative thought patterns, and how to replace some of the insecurities we feel about not drinking, that we're going to be judged, that we're going to be othered, that we're not going to fit in or be included. So what are the steps that you take women through in order to embrace sobriety as a power move?
Yeah, this is really important. Great question. And one of the first things that I personally had to do, and that I usually suggest, is to really work on staying in your zone, staying in your bubble, kind of, and trying to not worry about what other people think, because you are transforming your life. You're totally going to be changing your life. And, you know, we don't want to look back and say, damn, I didn't stop drinking because I was so worried about what Susie down the street was going to think of me. And now I just, you know, just screwed myself for the last 20 years because I worried about somebody that really doesn't matter that much in my life. So really just focusing on what you're doing. And if that means not going out for a little while or a long while, heck, I stayed in for literally probably the first year. I didn't go out. I was in my bubble because I had to be. I had to just stay focused and do what I was doing and not get distracted, you know, because it's very easy that when we're working on a goal and we're in our zone and all of a sudden we start letting these outside forces like affect us and change what we're doing and change our thoughts on our goal and making us question it. And then we kind of fizzle out and we go towards them and we lose track of what we're doing. So really stay focused. Most people who drink wish they didn't drink at all, or at least drink less. And many people have a very complicated relationship with alcohol. It's not something unique that we're here struggling. You know, it's not like we're this weirdo that is struggling with alcohol. Like, so many people want to drink less, and they're afraid to take action or whatever it might be. And so the fact that anybody's even questioning their own relationship is unbelievable, and it's huge. So it's something to be proud of. So one of those things.
I just wanted to jump in really quickly on that, because I know that it's possible someone's listening to this and are like, yeah, 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 that's not true that most people want to drink less. There was a study done very recently that said that more Americans are cutting back on drinking in 2024. Over 2 in 5 people, 41%, are trying to drink less in 2024. And that's an increase of 7 percentage points over last year, 2023. And the younger generations, especially Gen Z, are really into this approach. 61% of Gen Z plan to drink less in 2024. I mean, where in 2023, just 40% felt that way. So that is what, a 20% jump among Gen Z in a year. And 2 in 5 American adults want to drink less this next year. So you are not alone in this. You're in fact on the forefront of it by actually going alcohol free and taking a look at, as you said, this highly addictive drug that is a depressant that we've been taught we need.
Exactly. That, I love those numbers, though. That's exciting and gives us hope for our kids and the younger generations. Like, people are, they're catching on to it. You know, it's like we were all fooled for a really long time. And especially, you know, as women are drinking now more than ever, more than we ever have historically. We always historically drink less than men, but now it's like neck and neck, you know, and that has a lot to do with, you know, the way it's marketed to us and all those things. I know you've talked about that before. And so again, when you catch yourself, you know, maybe feeling, all the friends or the group of girls, they're all hanging out. They're not calling me now because they know I'm not drinking or I'm on this journey, and that we kind of feel bad. Don't, like, try not to allow ourselves to feel that way. And know, like, just stop for a second when you catch yourself having this thought that, you know, that they're probably sitting around talking about me and wondering, gosh, what my drinking must have looked like for me to want to quit. That, know that you're actually doing something that is so brave that not many people, you know, are able to do, and really look at themselves in the mirror. And that what you're doing is going to improve your life. It will. And some people it's a little bit, other people's it's a lot. It's what you are going to do with it. And, you know, the people you're going to surround yourself with and all that, that's going to make a difference. But it's not a weakness. It's definitely not something, there's something wrong with you, that you're, you know, that alcohol sucked you in, or that you're living an alcohol-free life. It's to me, but again, like you said, it doesn't happen overnight. I didn't always feel this way. It's been a lot of work and a lot of mindset work to kind of to get to this point.
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause for a minute? I am 48, so if you are going through it, I'm right there with you. I mean, hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, the low moods, the poor sleep, it is not cool. And that's why I was really excited to find a supplement called Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like those super fun hormonal changes. It helps reduce menopause symptoms head-on. And if you're interested in trying it, you can use the code HELLO for 15% off your first order. Women cannot stop raving about it on social media, but the biggest benefit is the simplest: feeling like yourself again. So if you're going through this, like I'm going through this, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com with promo code HELLO. That's happy, MAMMOTH.com. And use promo code HELLO for 15% off your first order. When I was drinking, I used alcohol to calm my mind, to relieve anxiety, and to sleep well at the end of a busy day.
I didn't know that alcohol actually spiked my stress hormone, increased anxiety, and as little as one glass of wine a night reduced my sleep quality by 24%. I was really excited to find Tenasi, a better way to find calm, rest, relief, and to reduce inflammation. Tenasi creates the highest quality, scientifically validated CBD and hemp extract products. Tenasi's formula includes a unique combination of CBD and CBDA in every dose, which is 2 times more effective than just CBD alone. So if you want to create a sense of calm, to calm your mind, to relax before bed for a great night of sleep, try Tenasi. Tenasi's being really generous with our listeners. You can go to tenasi.com and use code HELLO to get 25% off at checkout right now. That's TANASI.com. to get 25% off your first order with the promo code HELLO, and get ready to sleep well.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It took me a long time to embrace this idea. The first person who helped me sort of shift the way I was thinking, well, there were a couple factors. One was the bubble hour, which when I quit drinking was the first podcast I found where women were telling their stories of life after alcohol. Then I found Belle of Tired of Thinking About Drinking. She actually was my sober coach, but I really resonated with her approach and her philosophy, just that nobody needs to drink and that sobriety suits you and that, you know, struggling with alcohol is this backpack of rocks you're going to put down. And then once I was about 60 days alcohol free, I did Holly Whitaker's Hip Sobriety School before she wrote Quit Like a Woman. And if you've read that book, it really is empowering in terms of all the reasons that alcohol holds us back and keeps us small, and taking a look at the way we've been marketed to and to some extent duped by the alcohol industry to rely on this substance that honestly drags you down and mentally, physically, emotionally. So I think anyone listening to this podcast, following you on Instagram, reading any of these books, you're already doing the work to shift your mindset about how good life can be if you stop drinking, if you drink less, if you're experimenting and questioning what alcohol, the role it's playing in your life, and whether the positives outweigh the negatives. You are already doing the work. And it's important. Just listening to this podcast, it's important.
Absolutely. And I love that book. That was one of the first books that I read when I was first getting sober, was Quit Like a Woman. And actually the first book I read, and this was years before I got sober, just shows us how long we're on this like journey before we actually quit. It's called A Happier Hour. She's out of, I think, Australia. And I just remember reading
Bex it. Weller, Sexy Sobriety.
Yeah. Exactly. And I have her second book too. And it was just helpful. But I remember reading Holly's book and reading the page about how a health conscious generation of people, we soul cycle, we juice, we cleanse, we eat organic, we pay extra for a yoga class because there's healing crystals on the floor. And she goes on and on. And we're drinking fucking rocket fuel. And I was like, mic drop. This is me. Like, I thought, you know, I was so healthy in so many other ways. And it was like, this one thing is like, did not align with me and, you know, who I thought I was, but I just kind of ignored it. It would put the blinders on because it's wine. It relaxes us and things like that. But and that's why I think reading books, like you've obviously done a lot of, you know, courses and worked with a sober coach, like this stuff, it takes a while to kind of get this mindset, but it's possible. Either we're going to spend the next 3 years or whatever amount of years drinking, and just going through the motions, living the same day over and over again. Or we could take a couple years and do a lot of work on ourselves and growth and trying to educate ourselves and figure this whole thing out.
Absolutely. So one of the things that you almost have to do when you stop drinking is work on negative thought patterns. What are some of the most common negative thought patterns you see amongst the women who are struggling with alcohol or are early on this sober curious journey?
I see a lot of, well, you got to figure when we've started our mornings off, most mornings, you know, beating ourselves up saying, oh, you're such a piece of shit. I can't believe you did this again. What is wrong with you? When we did that for years and years, like our self-worth, our self-esteem is very beat. It's low by the time we're, you know, someone comes to, you know, a group like ours and is wanting to stop. And so just catching ourselves, usually there's a common theme of a negative self-talk, like something that we're always comes up with us. And it could be around sobriety and trying to quit, or it could just be anything that we're just, you know, oh, your house isn't clean enough, or, you know, everybody else dresses nicer than us, or, you know, whatever it might be. I need to go to the gym more, is to just try to, you know, stop and then flip it, or tell ourselves something, you know, when it's like I mess everything up, I can never fall through on anything. Okay, that's probably not true. What have you accomplished? What are some areas of your life that you're doing really well at? Try to just flip it and give yourself, you know, a compliment. And that whatever we're thinking, it's probably not true. It's just these things that we tell ourselves, our inner critic, or, and especially with comparisonitis and comparing ourselves to others, like we're always just going to make ourselves feel not great. So definitely just acknowledging it is something that's going to be important, and then trying to just flip it around.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the biggest negative thought pattern that you had when you were drinking? And then I'll share mine.
Oh gosh. There were so many. I did not like myself at all when I was drinking, and even afterwards for quite some time. You know, I couldn't even look in the mirror. And if I did, especially after a night of drinking, I would just be like, what is wrong with you? You're such a loser. Like I was doing great at my job in the ER. I was getting great reviews, you know, things like that. But it was like this one thing. It was like, why do you keep breaking promises to yourself? And mostly, yeah, it was just like that I was a loser and that there was something, you know, wrong with me.
Yeah.
How about you?
I resonate with that so much. I mean, you know what's funny? The most common phrase that went through my head is, what is wrong with you? Like, maybe that is what we all think in the morning when we wake up. I used to wake up and think, what is wrong with you? Get your shit together, Casey. Like, you know, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. It's a lovely way to wake up, by the way. No, I'm kidding. I felt like I couldn't cope with life. And it wasn't so many people think, I just want to drink like a normal person. I hear that constantly. That wasn't what went through my mind that much. What went through my mind is, why can't I cope with life the way everyone else can? Why do I feel this crushing anxiety? Why are things so hard for me? And like you, I was doing great. You know, I was getting great performance reviews, getting promoted at work, and yet this is how I felt inside. Talk about imposter syndrome. I thought if anyone looked at me too closely or knew how much I was drinking or what I was scared of, you know, they would not want to be around me, be friends with me, work with me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the what is... there has to be something wrong with us, or what is wrong with us? And there's not, there's definitely not, you know, it's, again, it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's sucking us in. And especially a lot of times we'll notice that there is something that's going on in our life that sort of that really sucks us in. So maybe it is like just overworking and we're stressed. And so it sucks us in and it does the trick for a little bit. For me, it was my divorce, and the fear I had from that, the emotional, the sadness, the loneliness, all the things. Like I didn't always have a problem with drinking. It ramped up for me personally when it was kind of situational in a way. And it was, you know, my divorce, and that's, it just escalated so quickly. And yeah. And so it's the negative self-talk though. It's hard. We all do it. Even someone who has the most confidence still can have that inner critic. And I think just acknowledging it and just always trying to work on it and knowing it's not true.
Absolutely. Well, so one of the ways that we talked about before we jumped on this call to counteract those negative thought patterns were affirmations. Why do you think those are key?
Well, affirmations, they're proven to work. They really do. And especially when you say them out loud, you repeat them. That's the key, is to keep repeating them. You're not going to say once like, I love myself, you know, and all of a sudden you like love yourself and life is grand. Like, you have to keep saying it even when you don't believe it, because you're not going to believe it right away, most likely. I know I didn't. And I had this friend and she would always tell me like, just look in the mirror and say, I love you. And I was like, no, that I do not want to do that. That sounds ridiculous. And I fought it for a really long time. And then finally, is when I was taking a sobriety course in early sobriety, that was one of the things we had to say, you know, I am not my past. I am a person of dignity and honor. And I remember that. And I was like, okay. Like, and the first time I said it, I just cried. Like, I just bawled. I was like, oh my God, because we do, we just have so much like just shame and guilt and self-loathing at that point. So I just feel like, you know, affirmations are going to be such a huge thing and benefit for anybody that's in early sobriety or anything that you're trying to change in your life. And so I really, you want to make these affirmations, you know, I am, and say them as if they're already true, as if they've already happened. So you don't want them to be what you don't want. You don't want to say like, I will not drink tonight. You know, like that's like kind of a negative thing. You know, you want to say something more like, I am a sober, badass woman. You know, I am a strong, alcohol-free woman. And come up with a bunch of them and put them on post-it notes, put them on your mirror. Or if maybe you don't want to put them on your mirror because you don't want your husband to see or something, I don't know, or your kids, put them on your visor in your car. And when you're driving, just flip it down, not while you're driving, but when you're at a red light or something, flip it down and read these affirmations. I also suggest like having them pop up in your phone as reminders. So if 5 o'clock is your time where normally you'd start getting the itch, have it, it just pops up and it's like, never question the decision. That's when I have, or, you know, whatever works for you, and just keep repeating them. And eventually one day you're going to catch yourself in the mirror and you're going to be like, oh, hey, you are a sober badass.
No, totally. You know, it's funny what you said. Number one, never question the decision. That's something I actually got NQTD tattooed on my wrist for 7 years, alcohol free. It took me, I wanted a tattoo. I loved NQTD from probably year one, but I've never had a tattoo. So it took me a very long time to be like, yep, I care about this enough. This is meaningful enough to want to look at it and have it on me every day. But some of the affirmations that I used, and I think it's really important to take your most repeated negative thought and flip it to the positive, because that's what makes it powerful. And even if it seems that you don't truly believe it in the beginning, if you see it often enough, it will become an automatic thought in your mind. So I had sort of bulletin boards with quotes on them, first in my kitchen and then in my garage as well. I sort of have always been a more is more, probably why I drank a lot. Like, if one is good, 17 is better. But one of the things I had up there was literally, there is nothing wrong with you. I mean, so simple, right? But the idea that I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? There is nothing wrong with you. Another one, because I was so afraid to walk away from alcohol, I thought my life would suck. I had one up that said, I am beginning to love the sound of my feet walking away from things that are not meant for me.
I love that one.
Yeah. The other one I had up was create a life that feels good on the inside, not just one that looks good on the outside.
Yeah, perfect. I love that. And I have a couple more here too, just in case anyone's having like a hard time maybe coming up with some, because this could be new to you. Maybe you've never done affirmations before. Maybe you've thought about it and then just, you know, said, nah, I don't know, that's stupid. Which again, that is what I thought at one point too. But I do have, I am my best self sober. I am a strong, sober woman. I am confident in my abilities to navigate social situations without alcohol. I am grateful for the clarity and peace that sobriety brings to my life. And you want to just, yeah, keep saying these things, keep having them come up in your phone, keep seeing them, like put it every, like say it, see it, all of, you know, all of the things. And like Casey said, you don't have to believe it right away. You don't, because you might think like, this is, I don't think I'm my best self sober, or, you know, you might not have hit that point yet, but that's what you want to feel that way. So think sometimes too about how do you want to feel, and then maybe make some affirmations from that, from how you want to feel.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that can help in terms of, I love the quote that about you are most like the five people you spend the most time with. The truth is, it is very hard to live a very positive life if you are surrounded constantly with negative messages. And in order to make any change, and James Clear in Atomic Habits talks about this all the time, you need to maybe supplement your social circle with people whose behaviors you want, where that is the behavior that's celebrated. That's why it is so important to listen to podcasts about why alcohol-free life is good, to read books about that, or to join groups where when you say, oh my God, I just hit 14 days, you get a virtual parade for being a badass because you freaking deserve it. And you don't have to ditch people in your life, but you do have to add other messages. And they don't just have to be sobriety messages. One of the books I sort of listened to on repeat in early sobriety was Jen Sincero's You Are a Badass. That one I just loved. I loved her approaches. I know for other people, they love Gabby Bernstein. She was never quite my jam. She wrote The Universe Has Your Back. But there are so many different messages and people out there, and just finding one that makes you feel really positive and empowered about moving forward with your life, about not doing what everyone else is doing, about going alcohol-free as a power move. I think they will very much help you. And, you know, you don't have to know the people one-on-one. You can find them and listen to them, and that will help ingrain those messages.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Jen Sincero. I love that book. And I love her, You're a Badass at Making Money. That was one of my favorite books too. She's just a great writer.
That book was the one that made me make the leap to go back to coaching school, because I was terrified to leave my corporate job. And that book, You're a Badass at Making Money, sort of convinced me that going out on my own, taking a bet on myself, building my own business was actually more secure and stable than staying in the corporate world where in the field I was in, you know, tech marketing, retail, online, digital marketing, there were endless reorgs and layoffs and mergers and you name it.
Yeah, no, that book is great. I recommend it to anyone. And it's good, just like self-development book, because you don't have to just go into sobriety stuff. But I love what you said about, you know, find somebody that you kind of look up to, who you feel like maybe they kind of have their shit together a little bit, you know, a little bit more than me, and just start following. Even like, you don't have to know this person, follow them on social media. I did that actually for a while I was still drinking. I followed this girl. She was actually younger than me. She owned her own gym and she didn't drink. And she would talk about her stuff. She didn't have a sober page. It was kind of before sober Instagram was what it is. But she would just talk about, like, I used to drink and it was like, I wouldn't get any of my stuff done. Now I'm kicking ass. I have this business. I'm traveling. I'm doing all these. And I was like, huh. And I would drink and watch her stories. And all of a sudden one day it clicked. And so when you can just have somebody that you look up to. And one other thing, I did this with my group the other day that is helpful, is to visualize you acting the way you want to be someday. You know, maybe you're not quite there yet. And to even name this alter ego of yourself. My coach actually did this with me, and I had to name my alter ego, like this best version of me who's making really great decisions with her life. And I named her Veronica. I don't know why. It reminds me of Veronica from Anchorman, Veronica Corningstone.
Oh, wow.
It's just picture.
Was that Christina Applegate? Okay.
Exactly.
She always had that white suit. And I was like, damn, you know what? You can't drink a lot of wine in a white suit, because I always spilled my shit everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would think, if I was going to say, think about having a drink or having a craving, I would be like, what would Veronica do? Veronica would not have a drink and she would not pound a bottle of wine. She would go to bed early and she would wash her face and she would, you know, get a good night's sleep. And so really visualize this version of yourself. Like, how do you show up? How are you? What are you putting into your body for food? Are you working out if that's something that's important to you? Are you taking classes and learning something new? And obviously this best version of me is an alcohol-free woman who was proud about it and not ashamed or embarrassed. And so I really would just like visualize and embody this version of me. And because it's possible for all of us, like as much as you might feel like it's not possible for you now, and you've dug a lot of holes and areas of your life that you feel like are going to be hard to get together, just it's possible for you. Trust me. I filed bankruptcy at 32. I had racked up $100,000 in debt. I divorced, a single mom. I was drinking many nights. There's a lot of things that I had to really come back from and that I could have just let take me down. But eventually, just one day, I just didn't want to live that way anymore. So,
yeah.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. I don't know about you, but I cannot believe how fast this year is flying by. We're all busy, but one of the most important things you can do to make sure you're on the right path is to carve out some time to celebrate your victories and to notice what you've wanted to change but haven't been able to yet. Whether you're navigating sobriety, setting boundaries, or striving to be the best version of yourself, therapy can be a game changer. Therapy is for anyone looking for growth and support. And if you're considering it, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's convenient, it's flexible, and it's entirely online. So take a moment for yourself and visit BetterHelp.com/someday to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/someday.
You know what's interesting? One of the things we talked about in terms of how to help you embrace sobriety as a power move when you are thinking, what the fuck is wrong with me? Or why can I do everything in my life but not get this together? Is you said to focus on evidence of past achievements and strengths. And I thought of that when you were describing all of the things you've overcome, because that is incredible to go from that situation to coming out the other side, helping other people, building your life back again. And for a lot of high achieving women, you have done so many incredible things in your life. One of the things I think is, you know, women will say to me, why don't I have any willpower? Why don't I have any determination? And I'm like, oh my God, you have these kids you're nurturing, this home you're taking care of, this job that's stressful, whatever it is. And you're drinking a bottle of wine a night, or at least I was, and hungover every single day. I'm like, that takes willpower and determination. You're basically running this marathon with this ball and chain around your ankle, which, by the way, the reason it's really hard to get rid of that is because it's addictive and it's working the way it's designed and it's everywhere around you. And there's peer pressure to drink. I mean, there are many, many reasons why you can do all the other things, but not kick this addictive habit that's pushed on you. But once you take off that ball and chain, you truly can do anything. And the fact that you have all these past achievements and the fact that you're still holding it together in some way, shape, or form, despite how difficult alcohol is making your life. Once you focus on getting away from alcohol and do the work around mindset and do the work around getting through cravings and looking forward, I mean, those past achievements and strengths are going to serve you very, very well.
Absolutely. And yeah, I always describe it too as like juggling. Like I had all the balls up in the air, like, but it was ready to freaking come crashing down. And that's what it's kind of like for many of us that are higher functioning. It's like, all right, we're somehow managing it. But yes, take alcohol out and anything truly is possible. Like all these dreams that you had a long time ago that you threw away, they're now 100% possible. And I think it was also Mel Robbins said that confidence is the willingness to try. And so that's all we can do is to try. And then you're going to build confidence over time. And so it can go with sobriety, just willing to try to quit, willing to, you know, by taking action and joining a group or getting a sober coach or doing whatever it is that will work for you. But just the willingness to try is amazing. And then you're going to build that confidence. And then anything is just possible when you just don't give up and you're willing. Because a lot of people aren't willing. They're not willing to get on a Zoom call. They're not willing to show up or anything for themselves. So just be willing.
And it's scary, right? It is terrifying. I was shaking the first time I posted in a private Facebook group, literally shaking, terrified. I walked into my first AA meeting. It didn't end up being my path, but a friend said she would take me. I was terrified to do that. I was terrified the first time I walked into one on my own. I mean, this shit is scary. To be fair, I also get nervous walking into a Pilates class for the first time or a HIIT class. Like, you know, I think anything you do starting a new job is uncomfortable at first. But you're right. I mean, in terms of affirmations, I had a couple more up and one said, start before you're ready. Because honestly, you're never going to be ready. Just begin. And the other said, and I'm sure people have heard this, but sometimes the smallest step in the right direction can be the biggest move of your life, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I got like chills because it's true. And sometimes you don't even know it at the time. Like you think, oh, I'm just going to log on to this Zoom meeting for the first time. You don't know. That could be the thing that changes it all. It was for me. And like you said, I was scared too. I don't even think I had my camera on. I didn't share. But then the second time I was like, oh, I really want to share. And then I was getting this like nervous feeling. And sometimes feeling you think you're scared and nervous and anxious, you're just excited and you have hope now. And you're like, oh my God, okay, I'm not a loser. Look at all these incredible women on this call here. And you just leave with hope. But yeah, it's okay to be scared. It is. And yeah, that's usually when the magic happens.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime you feel uncomfortable or nervous, that's growth. That means you're doing something new. That means you're not in your same old patterns. I would also say that you need to surround yourself with people who inspire you or make alcohol-free life feel really positive, like something that will be good for your life. So I always say any group you join, any new thing you do, give it 3 or 4 tries, right? The first time you're always, your mind's just automatically going to be like, this sucks. I don't want this, whatever it is. But if after 2 or 3 or 4 tries, it is not making you feel positive about not drinking, find another group. I mean, there are so many approaches out there. I say that including like what books you're reading, right? There's some books you might start reading that are making you feel badly or guilt or shame, or somehow you don't want to be that character. Find another book that will inspire you and make you feel positive and excited about what's next, because that's how you should feel on this path. And that's how you're going to be proud of your decision not to drink, to make it, do it for yourself and make it be an act of self-care and an act of making you a better version of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other quick thing that we could do is when it comes to social media, if there's accounts that are making you feel bad or making you feel less than, even though it's probably not them, you know, if they're just sharing maybe their beautiful house and you're like, oh God, like, because that would be sometimes me, or their husband and wife with kids and they're not divorced, like I would feel bad. And then I'd just unfollow them or hide them or something, and just follow accounts that are going to lift you up, make you feel good. Try to just fill yourself with like positivity and anything that does kind of make you just feel not great, especially when you're in early sobriety, when you're trying to just build yourself back up, is to just get rid of it, get it out there, get it out of the way. So out of sight, out of mind. And that really helped me as well, especially when it comes to social media.
Oh yeah. And, you know, just really editing and curating the energy that you absorb into your life. And I still do that on a fairly regular basis, just noticing how different things, especially on social media, are making you feel. But I had to do it even in the news. You know, I used to watch cable news, and it literally is designed to spike your stress and get you outraged and keep you coming back for more. And I stopped all the breaking news alerts on my phone. I stopped watching any cable news shows, and I just read the news now, you know, New York Times or NPR, you know, something non-alarmist in my mind where I get the information, but I get it where I can absorb it without all the visual images or things like that. I also do it with social media in terms of, I went through in January and just put on, followed all these accounts for Schitt's Creek memes, because I freaking love Schitt's Creek and it makes me so happy and whatever. I followed some that was around baby animals. So I'm scrolling through and I see like baby bunnies and adorable kittens and little goats and, you know, and then I followed all these gorgeous places in Europe, in Portugal and France and Italy, just because I was like, they inspire me when I see them. And then, of course, I follow so many people like you and Amanda E. White, who's from Therapy for Women, and inspirational people who post about boundaries and self-care and inspiration, because those really impact the way you approach life and the thoughts and feelings in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can kind of brainwash ourselves into thinking that alcohol relaxes us and makes us feel good, why not brainwash ourselves into just positivity? That's definitely what I do. I have to, because we all do. This world definitely is crazy and it can pull us down that negative path. So why not, like, we can curate what we see, you know, to pretty good extent. And so why not just make it something so that we're seeing and absorbing good stuff and helpful stuff that's going to help us grow, and not the, my kids, I don't think I've never put the news on here. I don't even watch TV actually anymore. I barely ever put it on, and it's a good thing. I definitely think, but it's, we have to take the action and just do it. Go through the Instagram accounts, follow a bunch of good ones. I absolutely, I love that. I love that you did that though.
Yeah, I think it's so important because it really, and it can also be feeling less than or feeling like everybody's doing more than you're doing. I have to admit, I had originally followed a million sober accounts. And as a sober coach, I had to unfollow a bunch of them because I was feeling insecure. Oh my God, these people have so many followers and are posting all these reels and are doing all these things. And so I was like, I'm going to keep my friends and keep people that I really, you know, who've been on my podcast, who I really admire or want on my show or who inspire me. But if I feel jealous or less than or competitive or whatever, I'm like, snooze them for 30 days and see how I feel then. And, you know, all of that stuff. It's not, and that can be any time in your life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing happens to me. I think it's normal. It's a normal human reaction for us to feel that way, especially when we're in this space. And so I'm glad that you did that. I definitely do that as well. I don't really even scroll too much anymore, actually, to tell you the truth, because it does. And it could get in your head, but that's why I just continue to work on my mindset. I mean, I became a mindset coach and I still want to like do more with that, get more certifications, more because it helps me, you know, it's helped me really just create a life with like boundaries I never had before. People that are in my life, my circle is very small. I'm all about quality over quantity. I always have been my whole life, but that's just, you know, not bringing in negativity that I can control is definitely helpful.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I wanted to touch on in terms of negative self-talk is how to identify that inner critic voice, because almost all of us have it. And typically it was established when we were very young as a way to keep us safe almost, but when we had very little power in our lives. What do you do when you're working with women in terms of identifying and silencing or making that inner critic voice less powerful?
I love talking about this because everyone has an inner critic, even the people that are on top and are crushing it, they still will do the comparison thing and things like that. So again, it is going to be just acknowledging it and even talking back to it. Like, it might sound crazy, but if you have this like voice in your head that's telling you something, you know, that's not great. So sometimes it'll be like that I didn't cook dinner, a good enough dinner for my kids, and I gave them grilled cheese. And I'd be like, okay, shut up. Like, come on. Like, you're doing a lot. You're doing a lot here. You're doing your best. It's okay. Like, I literally will like give myself a pep talk. So sometimes give yourself a little pep talk. That's what that is really helpful. And just stopping. And again, like sometimes telling that voice to shut up. I definitely have done that before. But the inner critic, you know, it's literally an imposter syndrome and comparisonitis and all of that. It's the thief of joy, just like alcohol is. When we're trying to like compare ourselves to others, or we stop doing what we're doing because we think, well, everybody's already done this before. Like with a podcast, you know, maybe someone's thinking like, I would love to do a podcast. Well, there's already so many podcasts out there, so I'm not going to do it. And because I'm too late to the game, and who would listen to me anyways? Like when we say all these negative things, like, and our brain's going to believe it. Our mind will believe whatever we tell it. So if we say, no, I'm going to be great at it, I have a lot to say, people are going to like me. Again, even if you don't believe this, our brain will believe it because it believes whatever we say. And so if it's negative, it's going to believe that and run with it and go with it. If it's the good stuff, it's going to make us feel a little bit better. And so I definitely think like comparisonitis and all of that is, it is, it'll just suck the life right out of us. So staying it like in our zone and just knowing that we are a unique individual. We are ourselves. We bring something great to the table that somebody else doesn't. And yeah, just continuing to work on it. That's, and be committed to it. That's going to be important too. Like, don't just give up on it and think like it's, I'm still talking negative to myself. Just it's a work in progress for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that one of the things that helped me, again, just having this in front of me, seeing it often, was the quote, stop worrying about what other people think of you. Most people don't even know what they think of themselves. And I just kind of like, okay, that somehow helps me, you know?
And I also noticed too, I feel like most people that are gonna like hate on you or whatever it might be, whatever you think it is, talk about you or whatever, that's probably because they're like, dang, like she's doing it. I wish I could do it, you know? Like, so when you're maybe tell a group of friends that you're quitting drinking and maybe you're getting a little like pushback, are you still doing that not drinking thing or whatever? They're probably actually really admiring you and being like, dang. But for whatever reason, sometimes people don't want to say that. So just remember that people probably are looking at you, towards you, and are looking up to you, and you don't even realize it.
Hi there. If you're listening to this episode and have been trying to take a break from drinking, but keep starting and stopping and starting again, I want to invite you to take a look at my on-demand coaching course, the Sobriety Starter Kit. The Sobriety Starter Kit is an online self-study sober coaching course that will help you quit drinking and build a life you love without alcohol, without white-knuckling it or hating the process. The course includes the exact step-by-step coaching framework I work through with my private coaching clients, but at a much more affordable price than one-on-one coaching. And the Sobriety Starter Kit is ready, waiting, and available to support you anytime you need it. And when it fits into your schedule, you don't need to work your life around group meetings or classes at a specific day or time. This course is not a 30-day challenge or a one-day-at-a-time approach. Instead, it's a step-by-step formula for changing your relationship with alcohol. The course will help you turn the decision to stop drinking from your worst-case scenario to the best decision of your life. You will sleep better and have more energy. You'll look better and feel better. You'll have more patience and less anxiety. And with my approach, you won't feel deprived or isolated in the process. So if you're interested in learning more about all the details, please go to www.sobrietystarterkit.com. You can start at any time, and I would love to see you in the course.
Yeah, and even if they don't act that way at first, I found that some of the biggest drinkers have later come to me and been like, oh, wow, are you really happier? How did you do that? I think I should cut back, including the people who sort of were like, oh, my God, you're not drinking? What's up with that? When I started. So I always think if it's really important to someone else that you're drinking, that is all about their own relationship with alcohol. And you are holding a mirror up to them that they don't necessarily want to look at yet. So a lot of times you inspire them. But the other thing in terms of embracing sobriety as a power move, I have really found that people will play off however you present that you're not drinking. So if you say, yeah, I'm not drinking because I want to sleep better and I find it spikes my anxiety and I want to have more energy, it's very hard to argue with that. Or if you're like, yeah, I haven't drank in 30 days and I feel so good, I'm going to keep going. It's very hard to be like, what's wrong with you? Did you have a problem with alcohol? As opposed to being apologetic about not drinking. Or, you know, I like to be very upfront about it. And I was not ready to say forever at all in the beginning, but I did say, oh, I'm doing a 100-day no alcohol challenge. And the only reason I was confident enough to say that was because I was in a group and I worked with a coach and I was doing all the work behind the scenes. But being very upfront. I advise my clients, like they got on a plane or a waiter comes up to them and offers them alcohol, just be like, actually, I'm not drinking right now. Do you have anything amazing that's alcohol free? Just right off the bat, you know?
Love that. And even doing like role play, either with yourself, like in the mirror, and like practice saying that, practice these one-liners. But you're so right that people will play off of you. So if you're kind of like quiet about it, like, oh, I'm not drinking right now. I don't know. I've kind of had a problem, or, you know, like we just kind of, or that they'll kind of say, oh, come on, you weren't that bad. Just, or do you know what I mean? So it does, it makes a difference. So, but if you walk in there with your head held high, even if you're not feeling it quite, but you put your head held high, I'm not drinking. Yeah. I haven't drank in 30 days. I feel great. I don't know. I'm just going to keep it going. I don't know what's going to happen. But you speak excited about it. Yeah, they're not going to knock you. They're not going to, you know, maybe they'll bust your balls. I don't know the kind of friends. But for the most part, people are going to then just be like, okay, you know, like, that's great. Good for you. Or maybe they'll ask more questions. Maybe they won't. And it's not also too, like, not everyone's going to believe that you had a problem. And that's why it's important for you to just go off your intuition and what you feel. Like, I try to tell my mom, who I love, that I've had a problem. I don't live near. I've lived away from home forever. And she was like, well, just drink less or drink water in between. That was always her thing. My mom's never struggled with alcohol. And so she didn't quite get it. And then now she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. I'm like, well, I didn't tell you how I felt at 3 a.m. when I woke up telling myself I was horrible, or how I would black out pretty much every time I drank. I didn't say that. So people might not understand. So trying to just have your own why and your, you know, feeling of why you're doing this, just at least in your heart, you don't have to share with them. And yeah, presenting it in a way so that they don't feel bad for you. So they're just like, oh, okay, great. That's sounds like a good thing you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talked about this earlier, but just remember, when you're nervous about this, that 41% of Americans are trying to drink less in 2024. So, you know, most of the reactions I've gotten when I was around big drinkers in the beginning was, oh my God, I could never do that. Or, oh, I'd hate that. But that's okay. They can say that. And again, they are the people who came to me later and were like, so how'd you do that? How's it feel? You know, I've been thinking about it.
Yeah, I still get calls like that every once in a while, or I'll see someone maybe in the town, which I don't go out really at all. I'm an introvert, surprisingly, and I stay home a lot, unless I'm hosting a retreat around the world. But people will just, I haven't heard from them in forever. And it'll be like, oh yeah. So clearly they've been following me, and they'll be like, so yeah, I'm thinking about taking like a break, or, you know, I've been trying to cut back. But it's true. I mean, the majority of people, I do feel like they're not like, not everybody has consequences from drinking, whether it is a hangover, you know, I don't want to say everybody hates being like, but the majority of people who do drink, at least they're probably having a hangover. They're probably regretting the next day, like, oh my God, what did I say in front of my boss at that work dinner last night? You know, it's a lot of people do struggle. They just don't talk about it. And so,
yeah,
be that.
And I think anyone who is a big drinker, they have the 3 a.m. wake ups. You just do. You physically do. And you know, they may never tell you that they're worried about their drinking, but if they are a big drinker, I suspect they're worried about their drinking in some way, shape, or form, or working really hard to moderate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to mention too that it's really going to help who you're surrounding yourself with. And it just put as much energy into your sobriety and your mission of trying to not drink as you did into your drinking. You know, think of all the scheming we did, and just all the energy, and the energy for the hangovers, the energy for the drinking, the energy of planning to drink, all that. Put all of that, or even half of that energy, into your sober journey and your alcohol-free journey, whatever you want to call it. You know, like, get immersed in a group and show up and try to share. Maybe not at first, that's okay, but just keep going at least, and listening, try new things, go find new hobbies, like, keep yourself busy and keep yourself just surrounded with people that are trying to better themselves in their life. And whether it is like taking a course, like going back to school, taking an online course. And that was something for me that just kept me focused and excited about my future was I got my health coaching certification in the first, you know, like 6 months. And that definitely just kept my mind off of, you know, the not drinking and cravings and things like that. So it makes a huge difference when you do it alone. It's just miserable and you're white knuckling it. So really try. There's so many communities out there. There's so many just groups of people these days, thankfully, at least virtually, that and just do it. You won't regret it.
Yeah. And if you have tried something and it hasn't worked, that so many of us have done that. I actually just hit 8 years alcohol free and I was reflecting on the fact that two nights ago, it was 8 years before that, was the last time I drank. And it was a night like any other for me. I was a daily drinker. So, you know, drank too much on the couch, didn't remember going to bed, woke up at 3 a.m., scrolled through the not drinking sober Facebook group I'd been a member of for 3 years. And that next day, I emailed a coach to join a 100-day challenge for the first time. And it was just that one more layer of support, even though I had been a member of this group for 3 years. I had gone to and tried AA. I had read all the books. I'd been listening to the podcast. If you want to take a break from drinking and you haven't yet, all that means is you have not found the right level of support yet. So just adding one new tool can be the difference. And you may not know on that last day one that that's what it is. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And on day five or day 12 or day 30, when you usually break, you just don't break that day. You want to drink, you crave drinking, and you do something else instead. You get a milkshake, you go to sleep, you take a walk, you watch bad TV and are super resentful that you're not drinking. But that's how you get to 8 years or 3 years, right?
Yeah, absolutely. How about everybody who's listening? Let's hear it for Casey and 8 years. So
8 years is yesterday.
8 years yesterday. So exciting. Like, oh gosh, I look forward to that really because I'm like, man, in the next 5 years, what can I accomplish? I know it's more than I would if I was drinking. So just huge kudos to you and congratulations.
Exciting. Well, and just in case anyone wonders, my last time I started, I had not made it past day four in 2 years. So you just don't know when your last day one is. So just because you have not succeeded in the past does not mean you won't now. And also does not mean that it's not worth it, because it is. And it will not always be this hard. I mean, it's exciting to hit 8 years, but it's also kind of just another day. And I do want to celebrate it. So I like got myself a Reiki session and went out to brunch with my daughter and posted on the socials. But that was because you need to celebrate that stuff and you need to continue to embrace it as a power move and as a positive thing in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And just think about it as the greatest opportunity to follow through on all of the things that you used to think about while you were drinking. All the dreams you had, all the goals you had, sitting there scrolling, you know, just being jealous of everybody else and the things they're doing with their life. Now you have the opportunity to just make this the greatest decision that you ever made, if you choose.
It does help you get stuck, and you will be amazed at all the things you will do with the time, money, and energy that you are currently spending on drinking, hangovers, worrying about your drinking, stopping and starting. All of that mind space and energy is opened up for new interests and new inspiration and new activities. Even if those new activities are reading a novel and taking a nap, that is awesome too.
Absolutely. I agree.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I love talking with you. I love what you're doing. Will you tell everyone how they can find you, follow you, work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys can find me at Soba Sistas on Instagram. I'm always there hanging out. Send me a DM. I will give you a little voice message back. Let me know you listened to our episode here. I'd love to chat with you. Also, I have the Soba Sistas Empowerment Club, which is a club for women to feel empowered in sobriety and just overall in life. And you could, yeah, check out my podcast too, if you'd like as well. Soba Sistas, the podcast. Thank you so much for having me, Casey.
Yeah, thank you.
It's easy to blame ourselves for our struggles with alcohol. We see people around us being able to control their drinking without any consequences, yet no matter what we try, we can't seem to figure it out for ourselves. My name is Jillian Teets, and I am the host of the Sober Powered Podcast, where I use my biochemistry background to explain the latest research in addiction and help you understand both why you drink the way you do and how to develop the skills and mindset you need to find freedom from alcohol. I discuss topics like why we think about our drinking 24/7, why we have no off switch, and why we crave alcohol. If you're struggling with your drinking or you know someone who is, then I hope that you will check out the Sober Powered Podcast. New episodes every Friday. See you there.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hello Someday Podcast. If you're interested in learning more about me, the work I do, and access free resources and guides to help you build a life you love without alcohol, please visit HelloSomedayCoaching.com. And I would be so grateful if you would take a few minutes to rate and review this podcast so that more women can find it and join the conversation about drinking less and living more.